right. So imagine, right, a murder trial, but it's totally secret.
Secret.
Yeah, like nobody allowed in,
Yeah.
no public, no reporters, nothing. Just the judge, the jury, the lawyers, like something out of like a movie or
Well,
something.
wow, yeah, I see what you mean. Sounds kind of dystopian, right?
Totally. But guess what? That actually happened. It was this whole Supreme Court case, a huge one. Richmond Newspapers v. Virginia.
Ah, yeah, Richmond newspapers. That one really changed how we think about transparency in our justice system.
Big time.
So the case, it involved a guy named John Paul Stevenson. He was on trial for murder.
Okay.
And this wasn't even his first time facing trial for this. It was his
This fourth.
fourth trial for the same murder charge.
Yeah.
Yeah, first time he got convicted, but that got overturned. Then trials two and three, mistrials. So this fourth one, yeah, you can imagine the stakes were pretty high.
Wow, talk about pressure. So what happened? What made this fourth trial so special that it ended up all the way at the Supreme Court?
Well, the judge did something pretty unusual. He decided to close the courtroom.
Closed it like completely.
Completely. Public out. Press also out. Two reporters from, Richmond newspapers, they were covering the whole thing, and suddenly they're just like barred from the courtroom.
Oh, wow. I bet they weren't too happy about that.
Nope, not at all. And it gets even crazier. This whole thing, this closure, it was based on a Virginia law, gave judges a ton of power to just, close trials if they felt like it.
So wait, the reporters just took that? I mean, they just walked away.
Nah, they fought back, of course, challenged the closure, but no luck. The trial judge shot them down, and then the Virginia Supreme Court upheld that decision. But Richmond newspapers, they weren't giving up.
Good for them.
They took their appeal all the way to the top, the U.S. Supreme Court, and that's when things got really interesting.
I can imagine. So what was like the core issue the Supreme Court had to deal with?
Well, at its heart, the case was about whether the First Amendment, the one with free speech and freedom of the press, if that also meant the public and the press had a right to attend criminal trials. See, the Sixth Amendment, that's all about a defendant's right to a public trial, right?
Right.
But this was different. What about the public's right to be there? That was the big question mark.
So it's like they had to dig into the First Amendment and see if there was like a hidden right tucked away in there.
Yeah, pretty much. So the court really went deep. They looked at the whole history of open trials, going back centuries in Anglo-American law. And they also dug into the whole idea behind the First Amendment, like how public scrutiny and a free press are supposed to keep the government in check, even the courts.
It's like that saying, right? Sunlight's the best disinfectant. You start wondering how fair a trial can really be if it's all, hush hush.
Yeah.
But were there like other reasons besides just those big ideas that the court thought about,
Yeah.
like practical stuff?
Oh, definitely. They talked about how open trials actually help things run better. Like they help make sure things are fair, they discourage judges from doing anything shady, and they help people trust the justice system. I mean, if you can't see how the system works, how can you trust it, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. So did they say that trials could never be closed then?
No. They said there might be, rare situations where closing a trial or at least part of it might be the right thing to do, but it's got to be a really good reason, like what they call an overriding interest, and the judge has to explain it really clearly.
So it's like they're weighing things right, the public's right to know versus like some really specific reason to keep things quiet.
Exactly. It's a balance.
So did all the justices agree on how to like strike that balance?
Well, that's where things get even more interesting. They all agreed that Richmond newspapers won the case, but they didn't all agree on exactly why. Some of them wrote these separate opinions, like concurrences, to explain their own take on it.
Oh, yeah, concurrences. They're like, I agree with the outcome, but
Yeah,
for different reasons.
exactly. Like Justice Stevens, he made this point that I thought was really interesting. He said it wasn't just about the right to, share information, which is what we usually think of with press freedom, right? It was about the right to, like, get the information in the first place.
Okay.
Like, think about it this way. Say you want to know how your city council makes its decisions, right? Stevens is saying it's not enough to just see, like, the final vote. You need access to the debates, the discussions, to really understand what's going on.
That's a good point. It's like you can't share what you don't know.
Exactly. So access is key. And then there was Justice Brennan. He was all about the link between open trials and democracy.
Okay.
Like he saw open trials as being essential for a healthy democracy. Like
Wow.
people need to be able to see how the justice system works if they're going to hold it accountable.
So it's more than just like the media's right to report. It's about citizens being able to like participate in their democracy by actually seeing justice happen.
Right, exactly. But of course, it wasn't a unanimous decision. You know, we can't forget about the dissent.
Yeah, wasn't Justice Rehnquist the one who dissented? What was his thinking on all this?
Yeah, so Rehnquist, he was worried about too much federal power, you know? He thought the majority opinion was stepping on the toes of the states, their right to, like, run their own courts.
Yeah, states' rights.
Yeah, that was a big thing for him. He said the Constitution doesn't specifically say the public can attend trials, so he thought it should be up to each state.
So it wasn't just about open trials then. It became about, like, this bigger debate about power between the federal government and the states.
Exactly. Which is a debate that we're still having today in all sorts of areas of law.
It's a reminder that, like, these legal precedents don't just exist in a vacuum, right? They're tied into these bigger social and political trends.
Yeah.
So fascinating how this one case, you know, starting with just this murder trial in Virginia, ended up touching on so many huge issues.
It really is. But the story doesn't end there. The impact of this case, it went way beyond just this one courtroom.
Oh, I bet. I'm all ears. What happened next?
Well, Richmond newspapers basically started this chain reaction, and it ended up influencing a bunch of other cases about public access to different parts of a trial. It wasn't just about the trial itself anymore. It was about shining a light on the whole process.
Okay, so what other parts of the process got affected?
Well, for example, jury selection. In later cases, the court said that the public also has a right to attend voir dire. That's the process where they question and pick the jurors.
Hmm. That's an interesting one. I never really thought about that before. But yeah, jury selection, that's super important.
Oh, absolutely. It's where they decide who's literally going to decide the defendant's fate.
Exactly. And that could be, like, really vulnerable to bias or manipulation if it's not out in the open.
Right. The court realized that the public has a real interest in seeing how those juries get chosen.
Makes you wonder what could happen if it wasn't public, right?
Like, yeah.
Some backroom deals or something.
Exactly. If people can't see how those potential jurors are questioned and chosen, how can they be sure the whole thing's fair, right?
Yeah. It's like you can't have a fair trial if the jury isn't chosen fairly.
Exactly. So transparency in jury selection, it's really about protecting the whole trial process. And then the same logic got applied to other pretrial hearings, too. After Richmond newspapers, there were cases about access to, you know, preliminary hearings, hearings on motions to suppress evidence, all sorts of stuff.
Okay.
And these hearings, they're often where the really crucial legal issues get debated, where evidence is presented and challenged.
So Richmond newspapers basically set off this, like, domino effect, pushing for more and more openness throughout the whole system.
Yeah, you could say that. It established this idea that the public has a right to know what's happening in their courts, not just at the very end when there's a verdict, but all along the way.
It's about making sure that the courts, as like these public institutions, are actually accountable to the people, right?
Exactly.
We talked a bit about Justice Rehnquist's dissent earlier, but I'd love to like hear a little more about his specific concerns. He really seemed to have a very different view of this whole public access thing.
Yeah, his main concern was, like we said, federal overreach. He thought state courts should be able to decide these things for themselves.
Okay.
He argued that the Constitution doesn't say the public has a right to attend trials, so he thought it should be up to each state to make its own rules about who can be in the courtroom.
So for him, it was all about, like, drawing a line between federal power and state autonomy.
Exactly. He saw this ruling as the federal government kind of imposing its will on the states, and he was worried that it would lead to, like, different standards of justice across the country.
Hmm. Yeah, I can see that point. Wouldn't that create a situation where, like, transparency and public access could be totally different depending on what state you're in?
That's a great question, and it's one that people are still debating today. Like, on one hand, you have the argument for a national standard, making sure everyone has the same level of access to the courts.
Right.
But then on the other hand, some people say that states should have the freedom to run their courts the way they think is best, taking into account their own specific needs and situations.
So this case really tapped into a much bigger debate about, like, the balance of power in our federal system.
Absolutely. And it shows how complicated these issues are because there are good arguments on both sides.
Yeah, finding that right balance is never easy. Mm-hmm. This has been such a fascinating look at Richmond Newspapers v. Virginia. We've gone way beyond just the details of the case, and we've really gotten into its impact on the legal system and our understanding of, like, open government.
It's been great talking about it with you.
But I feel like we're not quite done yet, right? There's got to be more to say.
Yeah, I think we should leave our listeners with a final thought, something to really, you know, chew on.
I'm ready for that final thought. Hit me with it.
Okay, so, like, throughout this whole deep dive, we've been talking about how the Supreme Court in Richmond newspapers, they said, yeah, the public has the right to be at criminal trials.
Right.
But they also said that sometimes there might be reasons to close a trial, or at least parts of it. It's not like a total absolute right.
Yeah, there might be situations where, you know, other things are more important.
Exactly. So here's a question for everyone listening. What do you think those situations might be? Like, when is it okay to close a courtroom? And how do we make sure those exceptions don't, like, swallow up the whole rule of open access? It's something people are still debating today.
That's a great question to think about. Like, mm-hmm. What if a witness is in danger, right? Or what if there's, like, super secret national security stuff involved?
Exactly. Those are good examples. There are definitely times when a judge might have a good reason to keep things private. But the tricky part is, like, finding that balance between being transparent and protecting those other interests.
It's a tough job, for sure. And that's where, you know, having smart judges who can make those calls, that's really important.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's no easy answer. It depends on the specific case, you know. What are the facts? What's at stake?
Well, this has been a truly fascinating look at Richmond Newspapers v. Virginia. It's so much more than just an old case.
Yeah.
It's still shaping how we think about transparency, accountability, the whole judicial system, really.
Absolutely. It was a huge reminder that courts, they aren't just places where justice happens. The public institutions, they have to answer to the people. And, you know, justice, it works best when everything's out in the open.
I'm going to say it better myself. It's been great breaking down this case with you. And to everyone listening, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Richmond Newspapers v. Virginia. We hope you'll keep thinking about these questions. Keep the conversation going. Because, you know, a healthy democracy needs informed citizens, people who are paying attention, asking questions, getting involved.